And welcome back. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. Between news, social media, billboards, flags, hats, and t-shirts, there's really no way to shield our young people from the vitriol of America's political discourse. So what effect is all this having on our kids? How much are kids absorbing? And how do our children form their political identities? Now a conversation with three educators who wrestle with these questions almost every day. With us, Brian Von Osdale is a vice principal at East High School here in Kansas City. Brian, welcome. Nice to have you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Megan Patterson is an associate professor of educational psychology at the University of Kansas. Megan, good to have you. Good morning.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Dan Garrison also joins us. He's a history teacher at the Raymore Peculiar South Middle School. Dan, good morning to you as well.
And good morning to you.
Well, Megan, let's start with you. You've done some studies on kids and their ideas about politics. I mean, do kids still aspire to be politicians or even the president of the United States? What are you seeing out there?
Well, certainly a number of kids do still aspire to be president, although perhaps not as many as in the past. But I think our research suggests that children are very much interested in politics. They know that it's important, they care about it, and they pay attention. And they're impacted by what they see and hear, whether that's positive or negative or a mix of both.
So what's your theory as to why fewer kids want to become president these days?
Well, we've actually asked kids about that. Do they want to be president and why? A number of kids say they don't want to be president because they feel like it's a really difficult job. And I think that's absolutely a valid conclusion to draw from. I think I wouldn't want to be president. It seems like a pretty difficult job to me. Some of them think that it would be boring or involve a lot of paperwork, which I think is an interesting interpretation. But I think also certainly the idea of, you know, conflict is something that impacts kids as well. And I think that's something we certainly want to think about when we talk with children about politics, is how do we frame disagreement and conflict and those sorts of things.
And Megan, one more quick opening question here. What age are kids becoming aware of the world of politics and what all that stuff's about?
Well, in my research, we mostly look at elementary school age children. So the kids in our studies are typically between 6 and 11 or 12. And we find even the youngest children we talk to, so those 6-year-olds or first graders, are often pretty interested in politics. Now, they're not as knowledgeable as older kids, but they certainly are paying attention. They're aware of political events like elections. And in some cases, younger kids actually say they're more interested in politics than older kids are, which I think may reflect some of the messages that older kids have gotten about whether politics is important or something we should be talking about.
Well, Dan Garrison, what do you see from your students at, you know, eighth grade or the middle school level? How much do they understand? How much interest do they have in all this stuff?
Well, largely. So I've been in education for over 20 years now, and I really don't see a whole lot of difference. The tone has changed, but I think that's basically mirroring, you know, the public tone in politics today. They're lightly interested, and social media has addressed that. It used to be that what I saw in my students was pretty much them parroting what they heard at home, and that's still true. But added to that now is social media. And unfortunately for a lot of these kids, you know, they are a generation of Twitter, not podcasts. So their information sources are all often funny memes or short little quips. Huh. And, you know, for a youngster who doesn't realize truly how much they don't know, they feel fully informed based off of that information. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's probably unfortunate, but I think that's just part of adolescence.
Yeah.
You know, it's not only in the political climate, but just in education in general.
Brian, I'm wondering about your high school students. You know, they're obviously close to the age of being able to vote. With all the divisive language in America these days, what are your students saying about all this and how are they reacting?
I think one of the things I hear a lot of the students talking about is that I think they're very issue driven. So those issues are things that they're more passionate about than I think just the politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get very fired up about, you know, maybe something about, you know, the climate, or they might, you know, they might get very fired up about, you know, especially with students of color,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the issues of some of the hashtags, you know, the Black Lives Matter, Hispanic
right.
Lives Matter, things
right.
like that. That's where they get their fire and their passion is more in that. And I hear a lot of them saying, you know, they actually had some conversations with some students in a class that we have at East High School, you know, making comments of, you know, it's our generation. We've got to be the ones that's got to step up because
that's
they don't have a lot of faith.
Yeah.
I think in the older generations of being like, you're not passionate about the issues that we care about as 18-year-olds, because
yeah.
this was a class that was, you know, made up of just seniors. You don't have the passion that we have for this.
Yeah.
You're worried about something else. We're worried about this.
You know, there's new polling even out the last few days about who won the election, how much faith people have in the American political process. Do your students have confidence in the voting system, and do they feel like it works for them, or what do they say about that part of it?
I think that, you know, they understand that voting is important. They have, you know, you learn in our history classes and in our government classes that a lot of people fought very hard over the past century for all people to have the opportunity to vote in our country. So they understand that, and they feel that that is important. But I think there's also a little bit of a sense of, but people don't respect us because they look at us as just a bunch of young people that all thing we care about is our post on a Facebook message or on Instagram or something like that. And that we don't really care about the issues and things like that. But I think that's a big mistake, because the you know, students do care about the issues. They care more about the issues than the candidate.
Yeah, that's interesting. Megan, how should parents explain the negative and seemingly unprofessional discourse within American politics? I think most of us know what I'm referring to, you know, the use of terms like deplorables and nasty woman. How should parents navigate that?
Well, I think obviously every family has to make their own decisions about how they want to talk about politics, like any other issue. But I think some of the things that can be helpful, I think one, it can be helpful for parents and teachers and other adults to talk about the idea that some conflict is a natural and helpful part of the political process, right? So one of the things we know from research is that children and adolescents often think of conflict in politics as sort of across the board negative, right? And mm-hmm. I think that's actually true for a lot of adults too, right? We tend mm-hmm. to think of this sort of negative, divisive, lots of people arguing, you know, we don't like conflict typically as humans, right? And so I think, one, it's important to recognize that some of these disagreements are an important part of the political process. And I think that's sometimes easier to see from a historical lens. You know, we watch Hamilton or whatever, and we can see that back and forth actually made ideas stronger and made the country better, right? It's sometimes harder to see that in our current setting.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things to think about. But certainly we can also talk about the importance of being respectful and disagreeing in a way that is constructive, and that we don't always see that from our political leaders, but that doesn't mean that we should just disengage, right? That it's important for all of us to, you know, commit to our political systems and commit to our political processes and try to make those systems better versus just saying, oh, that seems right. really toxic, I'm just going to ignore it.
Dan, again, you teach middle school students at Ray Moore Peculiar South Middle School. What would you advise parents? Anything you would add to what Megan just said?
Well, she did a great job of, as much as this can be family discussions, I think that's really important. I mean, ultimately, the way we see this play out, and she mentioned Hamilton, so going back to Federalist or Anti-Federalist or, you know, the election of 1800, 1860, those were equally contentious times.
Yeah.
But what's different is the rancor, the lumping of you know, my position is right, therefore you're a bad person. That seems to have changed in the discourse. So as much as parents can talk about, you know, both sides are wanting to solve a problem. And sometimes, you know, the people, when they become impassioned, they're not good role models mm-hmm. for kids. I mean, that's certainly true in recent years. But as much as we can be reminded for the students that they need to, if they want to elicit change or be a part of the solution, they need to engage, maybe just in a more refined, you know, in our home, this is how we right. have disagreements.
Brian, to what extent are your high school students these days as interested in politics as kids from, say, 10 or 15 years ago?
You know, I believe that they're still very interested. As I said, earlier, they, to them, it's about a specific issue. That's where they get very fired up and passionate about.
And again, the candidates, the people, the office holders sort of fade in the background a little bit, it sounds like.
Yes. You know, it's not like, oh, this person, I've just got my allegiance to them. It's more, I care about this. I want to see this change. I want to see this get better in my community. Let me try to find someone who can closely align to that. But then what I hear a lot of them saying, but I don't feel like anybody really is speaking up or caring about that. And I think they're very aware of, and I actually heard some students say this in a class I was in last semester. You know, it seems like they will say something while they're running for office, but then once they get in office, they say and do something else. And I think students have become very aware of that, you know, the older students, because, you know, that's one of the things I've always encouraged students. I was a high school government history teacher before I became an administrator. I always told students, vote. That is the most important thing that right. we in our democracy that we have. That is our power as a person, as the people, is to vote. And I said, do your due diligence of researching who you want to vote for and what issues are important to you. Find that candidate that aligns to those issues. And so I think students understand that. I don't think they get the respect sometimes from the adults right. that they should, that they actually do care. But the students are very issue-oriented, issue-driven. I mean, we had a project at East High School in a class that they had to pick a specific social issue, social movement, and they had to do some very in-depth research, and then they presented it to a panel of stakeholders outside of the school from the community. And these stakeholders were talking to me about how they were so impressed of the level of research these students did about these issues and what they were bringing up mm-hmm. and what they were passionate about and how they wanted to see this change and how this change could really positively impact the community that they live in. And so I was very proud to hear that and see that students stood up and that were doing that.
Dan, did you say you had this, you see the same issue focus at the middle school level that Brian is describing at East High School?
Yeah. And I think if we look at this, you know, somewhat historically on students, we'll see that when there are social issues or issues that they feel affect them. So social issues or, you know, if we go back to the mid-60s, one of our interpretations of the First Amendment as it applies to schools was a group of, I think, led by a 16-year-old, if memory serves, and that were protesting the Vietnam War. And mm-hmm. they, you know, they were our young adults. So when they feel that those issues, if you're talking about tax increases or infrastructure, those they're somewhat disconnected to. But if it feels as though it's something that they can closely identify with and connect to, then yes, certainly they're much more involved and probably more aware than we realize.
Dan, how much interest did President Trump spark in interest in politics, or for that matter, Barack Obama, obviously being the first African-American to win the White House?
Yeah, both of them were engaging figures. I mean, whether you support either candidate, they're both very, very engaging figures. So you definitely see that I've seen kids, you know, you hear them in between classes discussing both of those people, both positively and negatively, you know, how much they fully understand their positioning. I don't know. But when you're in the nation spotlight to that degree, definitely kids are aware.
Brian, did the controversy surrounding President Trump change that issue focus that you were just referring to? Were students debating him, the president himself, day in and day out more than you'd seen in the past?
I think that there was a definite more awareness of who was in the White House at that time by students. But I think what I see, like I said, and I've said before, but what maybe brought that more to the forefront was about certain issues, mm-hmm. Certain civil rights issues, certain issues concerning immigration, things like that, certain issues concerning maybe LGBTQ people, things like that became more to the forefront mm-hmm. with those students, you know, during that time. But as the gentleman from Raymore said, it might not be worrying about, you know, the tax increase or the tax loopholes or anything like that. That's maybe not what they're impassioned about. But what they are is the things, you know, like I heard students talking a lot about, you know, economic disparity and what it looks like in certain parts of Kansas City. And how that affects their community, that affects their daily life. You know, I've heard them talk about, you know, violence that goes on in Kansas City. And that affects them every day because these students have talked about, I know someone in my family, not just a friend. I know someone in my family that has been affected by violence, or they themselves have been affected by violence. So they're very passionate about that. And they want to see those kind of changes happen. And that's where I believe you will see an engagement of these students to put these political officials foot to the fire and saying, mm-hmm. hey, what are you doing for my community? How are you making my little brothers and my little sisters, my cousins, be more safe on the streets? How can we get better education and have more resources for education? How can all people be treated with dignity and respect? Mm-hmm. And not be labeled something because of who they love or where their ancestors come from or something like that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking about how our kids are reacting to today's very vitriolic politics and what's happening there. Our number, 816-235-2888. You can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. Megan Patterson, I'm wondering, how old should a child be for a parent to begin engaging them on our politics and how our government works? What would you recommend?
I would recommend to start early. As I said, you know, in our studies, we found that the youngest children that we talked to, who were 6-year-olds, were already paying attention to political figures, issues, elections. So I think the idea that some children are sort of too young to really care or be paying attention is not supported by our data, again, at least by 6. And there are lots of different opportunities to do this. It doesn't have to be talking about these big political issues. It can be talking about the basics of what's voting and how does that work. And we can vote on what movie we're going to watch tonight and talk about the benefits of majority rule and things like that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be connected to these big political issues, but just starting that conversation and having a foundation about how democracy works and how our political systems work can be really helpful so that when we get to the point of, you know, talking about a presidential election or something like that, that foundation for the conversation is already there.
Hey, do you think, you know, some parents are more interested, Megan, in discussing politics with kids, or maybe is it shielding them from our political discourse these days?
Absolutely. We find evidence of both. So we just did a study about parents' conversations with their kids around the 2020 election. And we certainly found that some parents said they were very interested in talking with their kids about politics and political issues. And that was related to parents' own interest in politics. So parents who were more interested in politics said they talked with their kids more and were less likely to say that their child was too young for these conversations and things like that. But we also did find some evidence of parents saying that they wanted to shield their child from politics or that it wasn't appropriate to discuss. So this wasn't very common, but there were some parents who we said, well, if your child asked, who are you going to vote for and why, they said, oh, I wouldn't discuss that with my child. That's private. And I think maybe there's a lost opportunity there to talk about some of these issues in a safe way, to talk with children about why this is important and how we make these important decisions.
Are you able to quantify, Megan, to what extent that kids just mirror the views of their parents, or are these days, are they developing, just based on what we're hearing here from Brian, the focus on issues is helping young people to a greater extent than maybe before develop their own political identities?
Well, certainly parents are an important source of political information and views, and parents do have an impact on what kids know and what they believe. But it's also not the only source. And we know that in part because lots of parents don't talk to their kids about politics. So again, we found that, you know, in our study about the 2020 election, 20% of the parents in our sample, and these are parents who opted to answer a survey about talking with children about politics. So they're not necessarily representative, but 20% of them said they hadn't talked with their children.
I think we just, Megan, are you there? I'm wondering, Brian, as you go about your daily rounds at East High School, to what extent do you see kids mirroring their parents versus developing their own identities? Is there a way for you to tell?
I mean, there's not a quantifiable way because, you know, I don't necessarily know what the parents' ideologies and beliefs are per se. But the one thing that I do see students, I think there's a little bit more of an independent mindedness today. I hear students that when they talk about something, you know, it might not be a wide swath of different issues, but they might have one or two, maybe three that they are very, very impassioned about. And that's where they will talk. And I have been so impressed because whatever that issue is, these students know about it.
Yeah.
And it's more than, as you said earlier, sir, the memes on a social media platform. It is, I've did my reading. I've experienced this, or I've had someone close to me experience something about
this.
Yes,
hey, sorry, I got cut off, it looks like.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I've seen the students. I think there's a little bit more of an independent-mindedness. And I think that we as the adults, you know, the millennials and the Gen Xs and the baby boomers, we need to give our due respect to these young people.
Okay, we'll have to wrap our conversation there, and it was a good one. That was the voice of Brian Van Osdale, vice principal at East High School here in Kansas City. Also joined by Megan Patterson, an associate professor of educational psychology over at KU, and Dan Garrison, who teaches history at Ray Moore Peculiar South Middle School. Thank you all for a good conversation. Much appreciated.
Sure,
thank
absolutely.
You
thank
bet.
You. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Well, that's it for today. You've been listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. Thanks for checking in. We'll see you tomorrow.